In the name of Jesus, amen. You're invited to be seated. As strange as it might sound, and every year it sounds a little less strange, today is supposed to be a joyous day. Not just because it's Sunday, and we should rejoice, as we recall the resurrection of our Lord and our new life we have in Him through baptism and the Holy Spirit. Not just because God has blessed us with yet another opportunity to come into His holy presence and receive His good gifts. No, I say this especially of today because today is All Saints' Day. We should be especially full of joy today. And yet today is the day that winds up causing many Christians sadness. After all, today is the day that we tend to focus on those faithful, I will say, faithful loved ones who have been separated from us by death. We miss them. We know they're in heaven, that they are with Jesus, and this does give us joy. Still, though, like St. Paul says, we grieve, but not like the heathen. Those who have no hope in the heavenly reunion and a resurrection that awaits us. But while we remain here on this side of eternity, we do still grieve the separation. We miss them. They were cool. They were funny. They were helpful. They were something that we thought was great. It's normal. It's natural. It hurts. And it's this separation that so often winds up being our focus. In fact, it is very easy for us on a day such as All Saints' Day to get so focused on the past and so focused on the future that we wind up missing the joy of the present. We having a hard time enjoying the present right now? With all the focus on the past and the future, we tend to overlook the not-so-glorious present. Now, hold on. Don't rush the pulpit. This is especially true even as we consider all the woes and all the sorrows that we've had to endure in the past several months. It's kind of difficult to be joyous in the midst of, oh, let's say, sickness, all the natural calamities, all the loss, all the fear, all the anger, and all the worry. Look around. How could anyone have joy when they're surrounded by sorrow? Well, not all that I'm about to say to you, well, you already know, but we need to hear it. It's important. Just as important, we need to hear of our present tense, sainted gospel reality again and again and again, especially while we still reside on this side of the resurrection. The devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh, by the way, remind us day after day after day of how fallen and how broken we are in the present tense. The devil has no problem reminding you of such things that Jesus has forgiven you for. Am I wrong? So he's on a daily mission to remind you of sin, death, and the devil. So the Church of Jesus Christ is on the mission to remind you of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for you and for the forgiveness of your sins. We take our focus sometimes, though, off Christ. In good times and bad times, we can get and do kind of dumb things, forgetting and forsaking the Christ-centered blessedness, which is actually yours right now. We long for the past, we hope in the future, but we never seem to understand or appreciate that what we actually have in the present. And really, that is the devil's hope. If I ruin today, I have purchased stock in your tomorrow. If I can ruin your yesterday, I can mess with your today. You see how that works, and you see it going on in our world right now. Why do you love today? Yesterday was so terrible. You can't love tomorrow because look at your today. It's insidious. So I'm going to say things to you that you already know, but you need to hear them. You already are saints. Right now. Present tense. In the original Greek, the word saint, hagios, is translated as a holy one. Now we know that no one is holy in and of themselves. Once again, not saying anything new here. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. One is not naturally holy. One is not born holy. Nor do they have the ability to make themselves holy. Rather, you are made holy. God makes you holy. He pronounces you holy, not because of anything you did or merit is actually holiness worthy, but solely because of what Christ has done for you in his all-atoning death and resurrection. Saintly faith holds fast to this good news, this cross-shaped good news. The good news that Christ himself victoriously proclaimed from the cross, it is finished. So think about that for a second and let it sink in. I'll get a drink of water while it sinks in. No matter how low a man may sink in life, no matter how bad or wicked his past, that sinful past has been put to death in the blood of Christ. It is finished. No matter how bad things may seem right now, or how dark and uncertain the future seems to be, it is finished in Christ because of Christ. No matter how bad things may get, it is already finished in Christ. Honestly, it's so sad to see good Christians forgetting or forsaking the joy they have in their present tense baptismal reality before God. Right now, too many, they're busy worrying about election results as opposed to the election you have in Jesus Christ. They're too busy being angry and holding grudges because being right winds up being more important than being righteous. Many a good Christian has forsaken and forgotten the joy of their present baptismal blessedness because they are too busy worrying about somebody else and what they're wearing at the Walmart. If they've got their mask and if they don't. They're too busy worrying about their temporal mortality that they wind up forgetting their immortality in Christ. They starve their soul to feed their fear. And it's sad. It's sad to have these conversations with people. Because, you know, on a temporal level, well, you're right. But you don't need to bring your billy club with you. It's hard to have a club and hit somebody on the head repeatedly while yelling, "I love you." So take your focus off that and look at the baptismal font if you want to see something beautiful, something remarkable. This is your saintly present tense reality. Your God and Lord has come to you and brought his blood-bought victory over sin and death and the devil and given it to you. He's washed away all your guilt in the font of his holy baptism. He's declared you innocent, and so you are. He's covered over your sinful shame with his white robe of righteousness. Sound familiar? It's not just a future tense thing that awaits you. Here in the waters of holy baptism, he's put his holy name on you. He's put it on your head and on your heart, making you as holy and beloved co-heir of the Almighty. You bear his holy name right now, and nothing and no one can ever take that away. When it's funny, we have a hard time being called holy, because we have this kind of wrong interpretation of holy. When you go, well, she is holier than thou, we turn into something icky. I mean, come on, it's a great word, and somehow, because we can't have nice things, we found a way to ruin it. It's like taking chocolate and going, oh yeah, he's chocolate. Well, we haven't ruined that word yet. So far, yesterday proved that. But we ruin words like holy because we attribute to them, it's like bearing false witness. Holy means set apart. Like, here you are in unbelief. Here you are in sin and death and the devil, and God is over here. He's got no part of that. And he takes you from here and puts you over here. That means set apart, holy. You're now in his camp. Holy doesn't mean you're better than somebody else. It means you're here with God. And just like we heard in Bible study this morning, if you ever want pearls of wisdom, one of our Bible study members said, you know, I've known this, that we are not better than anybody else, but let's be honest, when you're in God's camp, you're better off. You know, if you have a broken leg and he has a broken leg and one of you is in an ambulance, it's where you want to be. And one of you is, you know, in a ravine somewhere. One of you is in the hospital and one of you they haven't found yet. That's better off. You want to talk present tense joy? Look to the altar, look to the rail, look to the things that God has given us. This same holy and almighty Lord comes to you right here, right now, into your midst. The saints of heaven, as Revelation tells us, are forever gathered around Christ, where Christ is in heaven. Folks, here's Christ. Here's where heaven is meeting earth. There's this really cool tradition in the Scandinavian Lutheran churches. They like to take their altars and make them go all the way and touch the wall. I didn't know there was that, why that was. I didn't know. And so you talk to Scandinavian Lutherans, and they say, well, the altar disappears into the wall because we know that all the saints who have gone before us, they're communing with us right now. We just can't see the other side. And I'm like, that's pretty cool. 1 point for Scandinavian Lutherans. That was cool. It's a great way to remind us of great things. I mean, come on, that's neat. I'm going to give it to him. My history is not Scandinavian, so I have to give that point. I can't receive that point. So we have this wonderful idea of meeting. The Holy Church on earth is meeting with the one in victory. And that does happen with the communion of saints that we say in our creed, so listen for that. In other words, because of Christ, this place is made holy. Not because of us and what we do, but because of Christ and his holy presence. Standing in the presence of Christ, we are standing on holy ground. It is here that he calls you to the foot of his throne, to his feast table, where angels and archangels and all the company of heaven are gathered. It is here in the present that he sets his feast before you of eternal life, a foretaste of the heavenly feast to come. He gives it himself to you and bids you take and eat, take and drink, for the forgiveness of all of your sin, for the peace that passes and surpasses all understanding. It all comes together. Now, I know you already know this, and I may be getting a little loud, but it's good stuff. But how often did you forget it just this week? How often did you take it for granted? How often did you ignore or overlook all this present tense, Christ-centered blessedness and glory staring us in the face? How often did whatever political junk say, "Psst, can I just have your ear for a second?" And you look away from the grace and go, "What?" Folks, it's Christ. Here is where heaven is meeting earth. Here is where angels, archangels, all the company of heaven are gathered. Why would you not flock to where that was occurring every chance you could? What more reason do you need? I mean, this is why the people that they're struggling with coronavirus, they don't want to be around it, and I don't shame them for that. But I say, look, once the crowd goes down, come and see me after church when it's just you and me, and I'll give you communion. This kind of stuff. I want them to have it. I want them to be in the presence of God in the way He has given Himself to you. I want them to remember their baptisms. I want them to have all this stuff that the scary part is trying to steal from them. If you don't make it, you know, at 10:30, well, that's all right. Make an appointment with me. Come on Monday. That's a day. Tuesday, that works. Wednesday, hump day. Let's do that. I want people to have the stuff that defeats sin, death, and the devil. And by stuff, I mean Jesus. In the way He has promised to give Himself to you. So yes, I love having you in church. Yes, this is amazing. I'd be a crazy pastor if I was like, gee, I wish there was nobody here. Well, I am a crazy pastor, but not for that reason. I just want to be honest. I say all this because our world and our lives are always about to get very interesting. And in a couple days, I promise they're going to get interesting again. There are some very scary and uncertain times ahead of us. No matter who gets elected, I'm sorry, Jesus isn't on the ballot. No matter who gets elected, there are going to be a lot of angry, disheartened people come Wednesday morning and for days and weeks to come and even years. My God, why have you forsaken us? Is what we seem to hear. My fellow saints, no matter what the outcome may be, God is in charge. You know this, I'm repeating it. And He is working all things for your good, for your salvation. You know this, I'm repeating it. Repent and turn and cleave to Him. Seriously, trust in Him above all things and remember that He has already declared it is finished. He has won the victory. Remember, Jesus Himself told Pontius Pilate, and this will get you, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given to you from above. Know your place, Pilate." Folks, in faith, you have nothing to fear. You belong to Him. You are His saints, His holy ones. Flee to Him. Cleave to Him. Put not your trust in princes in whom there is no salvation. Psalm 146:3. Trust in Christ. This is true whether we're talking about elections or masks and germs or food shortages or natural disasters or economic downturns or, by the way, economic upturns if everything is going amazing. By the way, you still need Jesus even if everything is going awesome. I'll argue you maybe need Him a little more. Trust not in creation, but in the Creator. Trust not in the things of man, but in the Son of Man. Trust in Christ. This is what all faithful saints of all times, and you're going to hear some of their names read today, and in all places have always done. History is filled with plenty of examples of faithful saints bearing good and God-pleasing fruits. Even and especially during times of sorrow, special circumstances don't call for special measures. Trust in the same Lord. Don't find a new one. Trust me, it is not okay. Trust in him always, not just when it's convenient or optimal or no matter what's happening in the world. Saints in Christ have always and will always flee to Christ to receive the foretaste of the feast to come. A feast that all the faithful who have gone on before us are enjoying right now at that time of the Lord's table and in heaven in all its fullness and splendor and glory. Yes, those who have gone before us sit with Christ and worship him. Church isn't over when you die, just so you know, and when you're resurrected. It's still, as he even says in Isaiah, is the focus and where he is in the center of the temple. And he'll be teaching us for eternity. So church isn't over in heaven. You're not like, oh, yeah. I know you thought you were going to be golfing. I know it because you've said it to me. I'm sorry, I'm not going to out your name. You're not going to be golfing for all eternity. Let's face it, your backswing isn't that good. As saints in the present, we hold forth Christ as the one who calls you blessed. That is, as those who have been justified and blessed and declared holy by him because of him. Remember, it's about Jesus. The focus is all on Jesus. We hold forth Christ as he ever abides with you, even as you walk through this fallen and sinful world by faith and not by sight, obediently. Yea, and joyfully, bearing our crosses and, just like St. Paul, rejoicing in the privilege to suffer for Christ's sake. Trusting wholeheartedly that in the life to come, you too will see him face to face with your own eyes as he is. For you will be like him and you will live forever with him in his paradise without fear, darkness, shame, sin, death, pain, suffering, tears. This reality is right now and not yet. Yes, that's a Lutheran thing. The joy of the saints who have gone on before you in death, this same reality, my friends, is the blessed hope and the sure and certain future of all who walk this earth by faith alone, in Christ alone. This is the sure and certain blessed reality of all who are called saints in Christ. I pray that this very present tense blessedness of your very present Lord and Christ gives you the joy and peace today and on November 3rd and on November 4th, etc. And into all eternity, I pray that yours is the kingdom of heaven. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds in the one true faith, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.